Hallelujah. Give God the praise. Give God the glory. Hallelujah to his name. If you just think about everything that God has done for you, you don't have to manufacture your praise. You just begin to break out in your praise. Grandmama said, who woke you up this morning? Who started you on your way? Who put a new song in your mouth? Who gave you a reasonable portion of health and strength? Who allowed you not to put your sock on your head and your hat on your feet? God is the one who gave you your right mind. Woo. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. He is worthy, worthy to be praised. We give all honor and glory to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank God for the opportunity to serve here today in this capacity. We also give glory and honor to our esteemed pastor and his wife, Pastor Troy, and Minister Brenda Troy and the Troy family. Let's give them a round of applause as they are in their own time resting in the Lord at this point, and the church is continuing to pray for them. We also give honor and glory to our New Salem Baptist Church family, as well as the guests who have decided to fellowship and worship with us today. And I sincerely encourage you to come back on another Sunday when our pastor is preaching to definitely hear what God is saying through him. And hopefully today you will consider, if you're in the midst of looking for a church home, to give this church a consideration. I also want to say that the guests here today, you certainly add another area of our service. We realize that you could have gone anywhere, but somehow, some way, God has allowed you to make it over to this place. So we don't take that for granted, and we appreciate you stopping by here today. But also I want to give special honor as well to my wife, amen, Sister Antoinette Roberts. And God willing, this year in July, we'll celebrate 26 years, amen, amen, as well as our three children, Hannah, Haley, and Heather. For a little while this morning, we would ask that you would stand with us and turn to the 37th Psalm, the 37th Psalm. We'll be reading from the 37th through the 40th verses, Psalms 37, verses 37 through 40. However, our points in the text this morning will come from various passages within this particular psalm. Psalms 37, for our launching pad, we'll begin at verse 37, and I'm reading from the King James Version. It says in the King James Version, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Right. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Right. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Right. For a little while this morning, we would like to preach from the topic entitled Unfinished Business. Unfinished Business. And for our subtopic, would you look at your neighbor, smile at them, show them all 32 or however many you have left up in there. Look at them and smile. Shake their hand and says, neighbor, it's not over yet, but God will see you through. Say it again. Say, neighbor, it's not over yet, but God will see you through. Let's bow our heads. Our Father and our God, God, we thank you for the ability to be in fellowship with you and one another, to not only have fun, dear God, in you, but also, Father God, to learn. To learn, Father God, and hear what you have to say unto us. Help us, Father God, to put our spiritual ears on and our antennas up to get clear receptivity. Lord, block out all distractions, God, so that the preaching would be easy and easily understood. God, we pray for your power to continue to rain down in this preaching moment. We pray, Father God, that you would continue to walk up and down every row and every aisle. It's not, Father God, what you want to say to the person next to the right or left, but God, what you want to say to us individually. And God, we will be careful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, let us all say amen. Amen and amen once again. Unfinished business. It's not over yet, but God will see you through. You know, there are many things in life in which we will have to wait for. And many of us, we really don't like waiting on anything. And before I even go even further, I want to thank God for all my ecclesiastical brothers and sisters. Let's give them a hand this morning, our associates and all the ministers of this church. I also want to encourage you, before I get deeply into this text, for on probably by Tuesday, go and visit our website to hear the dynamic sermon that was preached this morning by our own Minister Cosby from Matthew 11, verses 27 and 28. But this morning, we're talking about unfinished business in Psalms 37. And as I said, there are many things in life that we may have to wait for. You know, we wait in traffic, either going to work or coming home from work. We have to sometimes wait for the traffic light to change. We have to wait sometime for slow drivers that are in the fast lane going 45 miles an hour. And yet we get mad at them, we honk at them, and then yet they start speaking sign language to us or gang signs to us and throwing up fingers to us. Am I right about that? We sometimes have to wait in the emergency room for what is an emergency to us, but then yet we seemingly have to wait for hours, and then yet when we get in, we wait again for the nurse to come, and then after the nurse, we gotta wait again for the doctor to come. We wait wondering why people sometimes in the movie theaters on their cell phone, why the movie is going on. We wait and wonder sometimes why folks sitting in the movie talking back to the screen and knowing that the actors on the screen, they can't hear you. Why are you talking to them? We were sitting in the movie theater watching the movie Get Out, and people were just talking, brother, I wouldn't go there. No, brother, get out, brother, go. No, you shouldn't go there. Why are you talking? That brother can't hear you on the screen. Well, while traveling via the airways, we have to wait for the jet bridge to arrive for a returning flight after having sat on a plane for a very long time. And when we hear that little ding, we pop up thinking we're going to deplane quickly, but then yet we pop up just to wait one more time. And then we hear the captain says, we'll be just a few more minutes. The jet bridge has not arrived yet. And we wonder, didn't you know we was coming? Why isn't the bridge here on time? But there are many things in life that we have to wait for. We wait 9 months for the birth of a child. Those of us that are a little younger, when we're 12, we can't wait to turn 13. If we're 15, getting close to 16, we can't wait until we get our temporary driver's license. And many have to say, students, that they can't wait till they get out of high school and graduate until they leave home. And it's often said by those of us who have a lot more experience that when children are younger, they are heavier on our hearts. But as they get older, they get heavier on our knees, where we pray longer and harder for them. Many right now are waiting for payday and waiting to count down the days until they can retire. Many are also waiting parentally to wait and see, will my child ever get it and understand all the hard work and struggles and sacrifices that we as parents have to go through, and will they appreciate and even say thank you for the blessings that have been received? All right. But there are many things in life that we have to wait on. Relationally, some of us are wrestling and wondering, well, are you the one? She's wondering, are you the one? And he's wondering, are you the one? Some of us are waiting and others are praying about, well, can I just get one? Others are praying, can I just get rid of one? Some are just like flies in a hot summer's day in the country. We're like flies on a screen. Some can't wait to get in and others just can't wait to get out. Then some are wondering about marrying the one. and it's true from a movie, you don't marry the one that you can live with, but you marry the one you can't live without. But then somehow in our waiting, we sometimes get frustrated and we have to deal with the mental anguish and the emotional pain that we have to tend with every day. And sometimes, yes, the voices that actually come in our head and assail against our soul. And many sometimes mentally are melting. And emotionally, we got to admit that sometimes we are exhausted. And financially, we sometimes have to realize that even though we can't see the finish line, we have to sing the song of the seven dwarfs.
I owe, so off to work I go.
So as a result, we often wonder, why do bad things happen to good people? We sometimes wonder and wait, why do good things happen to bad people? We sometimes have to wonder, how long must I deal with them? How long must I wrestle with these negative things before they change to a positive in my life?
All right.
How long must I wait and watch and wondering, do I have to put up with my specific situation?
Yeah.
How long must my soul cry out feeling like a caged bird that has lost its morning song only to remember the distant times of gladness? How long from the depths of my soul, in the echoes of my mind and my thoughts, must I hear there has to be more to life than just this?
Yeah.
How can I deal with the unfair treatment? How can I deal with the haters? How can I deal with the injustices and the inequality and the unfinished business that's in my life? How can I move on from this one page in this chapter, maybe on to another chapter? You see, our psalmist has some good news for us today. There is a word from God today found within Psalms 37, because David often tells us that in this life, there are times that you and I will go through some struggles in life. You see, this David that we see in Psalms 37 was a different person that we saw earlier, or that you would see early in Scripture in Psalms 13. Because you see, in Psalms 13, David was wrestling with some things in his life, and he kept crying out, Lord, how long shall you forget me? Is it going to be forever that I got to feel like you're not even hearing my prayers? But as God began to mature David, as God began to wrestle with David, as God began to illuminate his word upon him, when we get to Psalms 37, and after David had gone through some things in his life, he has some things that God allowed him to share with us today to deal with the unfinished business in our lives. And even though you want it to be over, I want to tell you that even though it's not over yet, whatever you may be going through or heading toward, God will see you through this situation. Well, look what he says in Psalms 37, beginning at verse 1. He gives us, and I'm going to pick out seven principles in this for whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, or even as an encouragement to someone else, that are seven principles that the child of God, if you practice and live by these, you will make it through your situation.
All right.
Look what he says, principle number one. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. In other words, David is saying, don't lose your cool. Don't worry about those haters and what they're doing, because God, I know a God that's in control. And if you allow him to really handle the situation, he will settle it all in his own time.
All right.
Well, how do you know that, preacher? Because when I look at verse 2, he says, for those evildoers, those wicked ones, the ones, the workers against iniquity, he says, they're going to soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb.
Yeah.
So God is saying, you put it all in my hand. Do you know God loves you so much that he has your back in every aspect, in every circumstance, in every situation, whether or not you realize it, can understand it or not? Our God is so loving, and he has such a great plan for you, that God is saying, I want you not to worry about your situation.
All right.
But then he says, not only do I don't want you to worry, and that's what the word fret means. He says in verse 3, he says, don't worry or fret. But verse 3, he says, he challenges us to do this. He says, trust in the Lord. But not only just trust in the Lord, but do good. He says, trust in him and do good. And he says, so shall you dwell in the land. And then he says, and verily you shall be fed. So God is saying, don't worry, trust in me, I want you to do good. In other words, you continue to do what's right. I never forget what our former first lady said about all the things that our former president Barack Obama had to go through and all the things that their family has had to go through. She said this, when they go low, what's the rest of it? We go what? High. And certainly in our lives as Christians, there will be people, there will be things, there will be hurts that come in your life that's going to aim low at you. But when it goes low, you go high. And he says, you trust in God and you continue to do what you know is right. But then he says this, he gives another principle. Look at what he says in verse number 4. He says, not only do I want you to don't worry, not only do I want you to trust, not only do I want you to do good, but then he says this, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Somebody ought to shout right there. If I just take my mind and my eye off my troubles, if I take my mind off of what I want to do to get back at them, if I take my mind off of what I want to see happen to them and put it in God's hands, God says, if you delight yourself in me, what the desires of your heart is, I'm going to bring it to pass. But guess what? It's not on your time, it's on his time. So he gives us principle number 4, but then he says this. He says in the next portion, he says, commit your way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. When you make a commitment unto God, that means God, no matter what it look like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what they say about me, no matter what they don't say about me, because I have committed this thing unto you, God, I know you already got it in your hands. All right. And so he says in another principle within this particular passage, he gives in terms of, in principle in verse number 7, he says, now, not only do you don't worry, not only do you trust, not only do you delight, not only do you commit, but then he says this, and Gary talked about this morning, and it made me smile as confirmation. God wants you to get some rest. All right. So often we're so tired, we're struggling. The problems are keeping us up at night. They're keeping us awake. We have to face them day after day. But God says, I want you to rest. And he says, rest in the Lord. But not only do I rest in him, which means I turn it over, which means I have to continually release it. But when I rest in him, I'm waiting for him to act. And the Bible says and gives us a promise. If I rest in him and wait patiently for him, he says, here it is. God will bring things to pass in my life. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret because of him who prospereth in his own way, because of him that bringeth wicked devices to pass. And then here's the next principle, which is going to be a tough one. And Rev, I don't know if we're going to be able to handle this one. Because some of us deal with this. He says, stop getting angry about it. You know how it is. You already think about what I'm going to say by the time I get through. Let just them say one more. Just let them look at me wrong. Today ain't your day. Do we feel like this at the top where we all stress? And in the bottom right-hand corner says, I'm a little stressed right now. Just turn around and leave quietly and nobody going to get hurt. Is that the way we feel? Is that the way we feel sometime as parents?
Just let that girl say one more thing and again, I'm going to snatch every little piece of hair out your head.
Do you ever feel like that about your boss? I'm going to quit. Just they don't know. You don't know me like that. You don't know me like that. You know how we do that. But the Lord says, cease. Stop being angry. Stop letting anger control you. Stop letting the enemy draw you into their side of the table. Because if you let God fight your battle, there's nothing that you have to worry about and be angry about. But cease from anger. But then not only does he say cease from anger, but he says and forsake wrath. And he says, don't think in any wise to do evil. And when we talk about ceasing from anger and ceasing from wrath, wrath is the rage side of anger, the uncontrolled side of anger. And some of us have let our temples go. You know how we say, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, and you mean it? You gave them not only that piece, but the next piece too? And so as a result of you giving peace of your mind, now you have lost your P-E-A-C-E. But you have to realize as a child of God, and because our God is so loving, the psalmist tells us that even in his life, when things didn't go well, he realized and he pens that my steps are ordered by God. And when you realize that your steps are ordered by God, the word ordered means that God has already prepared it. He's already set it up. He's already firmly established it. He's already securely determined to make it all right, to be settled. God has already worked out the details in your life.
All right.
And God has done all that because he loves you.
Yeah.
So why am I allowing myself to get out of character? Why am I allowing myself to be filled with rage? Why am I allowing myself to act as though God is still not in control of this situation and he needs my help? It's because sometimes when God causes us to wait, causes the delay within our life, causes us to go on a detour, that when our true maturity shows up, well, one thing I do realize that whenever we see these signs that says detour, go this particular route, that means one, something is under construction. God is constructing something that you don't know about. But then yet the second thing I know is that even though this detour takes me around something, that doesn't mean I'm not going to reach my destiny. And some of you right now are on a detour that here it is, God has ordained and allowed in your life. And here it is, you wondering, God, why at this time? And how long do I have to deal with this? But when God says in his word that he's already ordered your steps, he's promised us in his word that even though we may sometimes stumble, but then yet we're not going to utterly fall, because God's hand is underneath us to keep us from making a total, utterly mess of the whole thing. And so as a result, we have confidence in God. And look what God says in verse number 37. He says, look at the perfect man. Some sister just woke up and say, where he at? When he says, mark the perfect man, talking about the mature person. And he says, and behold the person in verse 37 that's upright. He says, for the end of that person is peace. between where you started and where the end is going to be, there will be some things that you're going to have to go through. There will be some things that God's going to help to mature your life. There will be some things that you may not like, but God says, I got to let you go through it, because if I don't, the character development like Christ will not take place. But I'm letting you go through it, not because I hate you, but because I love you and because you're going to need to exhibit my Christ-like character. Look what he says. He says in verse 38, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the wicked shall be cut off. In other words, that God knows your situation and he has it under control and his timing is perfect. And when he talks about in terms of the salvation that he's going to deliver, he says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord, and he is their strength in a time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. When you realize that God knows intimately your situation, and you realize that intimately he is concerned with every tear that falls from your eye, when you realize that God is so concerned about you that even as the scripture says, he knows the hairs of your head are numbered, God is concerned enough about you to know that whatever has been going wrong in your life, as long as you have been looking to seek and please him, that he is going to take care of that situation in his time. Look what he says. He gives us a promise, and he says this. He says, the transgressors shall be destroyed together. In other words, God says, I'm going to pay back the wicked for what they have done wrong. I'm going to be the one that rights the wrongs that have gone on in your life. But not only will he bring destruction, but that God also will bring development. Because that trouble, that detour, is not meant to destroy you, but it's meant to develop you while you're going through it. But not only is he developing you, but he learns, as I said earlier, to teach you on how to maneuver through the detours in life. The detours in life that he's telling you, and not only the detours in life, but he also teaches you that he's able to deliver you out of trouble. Right. And the scripture says that the Lord shall help them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. And because you trust in him, and because the Lord shall help them and deliver you, that means already, my sister and my brother, help is on the way. Yeah. So I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you are facing right now. But what I do know is that all of us have some unfinished business that we have to deal with. And even though he has not finished with us yet, that he will see us through. So don't give up. Don't hold your head down, but hold your head up and say, God is going to see me through this. You may not have liked it. You may laugh at me. You may joke about my situation, but I serve a God who is able to see me through every situation, because when I look back over my life and I think things over, how he loosed the shackles that set me free. How he made a way out of no way and turned my darkness into day. God wants to see you with a smile on your face. He wants to see you because of his plan is glorious for you. He wants to see you in knowing confidently that you know that you know that you know that God will see you through any storm. So what is your unfinished business today? Is it you've been in something so long that you done got comfortable in it, that you figure this situation is never going to change? What is your unfinished business today? Is it that you've been going ahead of God and God is saying to you, you got to wait on me? Is it that because you don't understand, why am I going through this? Why does it seem like every time I take two steps forward, I'm taking three steps back? Is it that your unfinished business and God is waiting for you to say, give it over to me because I can handle it all? What is it? The Apostle Paul had the same thing. He had a thorn in the flesh, and he says, I went to the Lord several times and say, Lord, take it away. And God says, no, I'm not going to take it away. But what I'm going to tell you is my grace is sufficient for you. I think I got some mothers out there that know about sufficient grace. Didn't know how you were going to make it. Didn't know how you're going to send your kids to college. Didn't know what was going to be the next thing. But God's grace was sufficient. I think there are some fathers that know about grace here today. Didn't know if they were going to hire you for that job. Didn't know what you were going to do. Didn't know if you was going to be the last hired and first fired. But here it is. God saw you through. You know, it's interesting that when you talk about the troubles sometimes that come in our lives, we all talked about and know about what happened with Sister Troy and Debbie and the family, and certainly is definitely a loss to us. But earlier that morning, my wife and I have friends who are from Louisiana that live here, had a sister that they were taking care of. And I got a call about 6 o'clock that morning, and this lady had been bedridden with a stroke for a while, up and down. The Lord is seeing her through some things. And my friend called me and said, I need you to go in prayer. He said, I'm sorry to disturb you. This time I said, hey, bro, ain't no problem. Don't worry about it. And so while Pastor Troy was standing here preaching during the service, I got the text. She just passed. And so I'm sitting next to my wife, and they live in Canal, Winchester. And I said, so-and-so just passed, and we have to, go and see them. 2 weeks prior to that, our youngest daughter, Heather, had an attack. I was in Cleveland, Ohio, in which she was throwing up all night. My wife had to bring her to Children's Hospital. Come to find out, as young as she is, she has gallstones and has to have her gallbladder taken out. This week, I think it was Wednesday, I kept having a pain in my lower leg. And I said, this pain is not going away. Sometimes when I travel, I kept feeling it. Had to put it in ice packs the whole 9 yards below my left calf. Still would not do anything. Tried to massage it. Wouldn't get it done. I said, I need to go to the doctor. Went to the doctor. Didn't make an appointment. I said, y'all got to see me. I need to get on up in here. Had to wait for about an hour for the doctor. And I said, doc, something is going on. I don't know what it is. I said, it could be a blood clot or something. And doc said, oh, no, I don't think that, it's this blood clot. I think because, you're flat-footed, so on and so forth, maybe your arch or whatever, lack of an arch is causing this. I said, no, this pain moved from the bottom of my leg up into my calf. He said, well, let me go ahead and just send you to take an ultrasound just to make sure. Sure enough, my wife and I going through the ultrasound. Guess what it was? A blood clot. So when I talk about it ain't over yet, but God's going to see you through, I know what I'm talking about. God will see you through every situation. So what are you wrestling with today? What is it that God needs to help you through? The songwriter says, just ask the Savior to help you. He will comfort, strengthen, and keep you. Jesus is willing to aid you. He wants to carry you through. So what am I telling you today? Is when you face your problem and it's not over yet, tell your problem, but God will. He's going to see me through. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you today.